WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday, January 17th, 2017. On today's Current Sports, we've got a sizzling hot show in store for all of you out there as we will dive into Michigan State hockey and address the question, what exactly is going wrong for this team and how hot exactly is that seat getting for head coach Tom Anastas. We will also give you an update on the Michigan State men's basketball program as Tom Izzo held his weekly press conference this afternoon at the Breslin Center. You'll get to find out what exactly Tom had to say concerning his team moving forward now from the loss to Ohio State this past weekend. We'll talk a little high school boys basketball and recap one of the best games I've ever covered here in the area as East Lansing was able to beat the Holt Rams on Friday night, and there was one player that stood out head above heels when it comes to the rest. That being East Lansing star forward Brandon Johns, who went off. Completely off, folks. So we'll chat about that. And also on the back end of the show, is Tim Lester the right man for the job to replace PJ Fleck as the head coach of Western Michigan football? And we will preview briefly the Michigan and Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball game tonight. As you see a stacked show, we encourage you all to be a part of it. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Shoot us a comment there. I will read it live here on our airwaves, or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR _sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Tyrone Wheatley is leaving Michigan's football staff after two seasons and is heading to the Jacksonville Jaguars as running backs coach, rejoining Doug Marrone, with whom he has worked at two other coaching stops. Now, Ian Rappaport of NFL.com reported the hire on Monday night via Twitter, and the Jags confirmed the hire later on in the evening. Michigan loses one of its best recruiters. Wheatley is ranked actually number 6 nationally on 247 Sports recruiter rankings. I had no idea that folks actually rank recruiters nowadays. That's insane. All right, but Tyrone Wheatley headed to the Jags. The University of Michigan men's basketball team, sitting at 12-6 overall, 2-3 in the Big Ten Conference, will head back out on the road for a Big Ten battle with number 17 Wisconsin, who is 14-3 overall, 3-1 in the Big Ten Conference. That game will take place in Wisconsin tonight at 8 p.m. on ESPN. Michigan continues to lead the country with the fewest turnovers per game at 9.10. U of M has had 10 or fewer turnovers in 13 games with a season-low 4 versus SMU on November 18th. Wisconsin coming off an 89-66 win over Ohio State, which took place on January 12th. Bronson Koenig led all scorers with 21 points, while Ethan Happ had a team-best 11 boards. Michigan is coming off a Nebraska win on Saturday at home. The Michigan State women's basketball team wraps up a 2-game road swing with a nationally televised matchup at Northwestern tonight on the Big Ten Network at 9 p.m. Michigan State concludes a 2-game road trip with a nationally televised matchup against the Wildcats. And this is the only regular season meeting between the Spartans and Wildcats this season. MSU had a 2-game win streak halted by Rutgers on Saturday, 62-58, the final of that one. Senior guard Torrey Jankowska leads the team, averaging 22.6 points per game. Michigan State guard / forward Miles Bridges has been selected as the Big Ten Co-Freshman of the Week, as announced by the conference office on Monday. Bridges averaged 20 points per game, 7.5 rebounds per game, and shot 73.7% from the floor and 75% from deep in two games last week, and shares the honor with Penn State's Mike Watkins. Now, Bridges earns his third Freshman of the Week honor this season, also having won the award on November 14th and November 28th. The Spartans return to action on the road on Sunday at Indiana, a 4 p.m. tip time, which can be seen on ESPN. Jared Crow made 18 saves for his second career NHL standout, or I should say shutout, and the Detroit Red Wings defeated the Montreal Canadiens 1-0 at the Joe on Monday. Detroit, sitting at 19-19-6, has wins against Montreal and the Pittsburgh Penguins in the past 3 days. The Wings defeated the Penguins 6-3 at home on Saturday. Thomas Vanek scored for Detroit, which is trying to reach the Stanley Cup playoffs for a 26th consecutive season. But now more than ever, it's going to be a real tall task to keep that streak going. The Wings will now host the Boston Bruins tomorrow. With 6:55 left in the first half, LeBron James and former Michigan State great Draymond Green collided. Golden State led 52-35 when James made contact with Draymond near midcourt, resulting in a flagrant one foul on Green. Green's arm extended across the upper body of James, who went down hard and laid on the court. Quote, "I fouled him to stop the break and he went down. And the aftermath, I told Cleveland's Richard Jefferson to get out my face and got a technical." That's what Green said after the game. Now, Green reacted by appearing to mock James for flopping. Quote, "Just in the heat of the moment in the game, having some fun, nothing major," Green said. Now, Green and LeBron do have history. Green was suspended for Game 5 of last season's NBA Finals after swiping at LeBron's groin region in the previous game. The Cavs rallied from being down 3-1 to win the NBA championship. More on that in just a moment. Knicks president Phil Jackson will meet with Carmelo Anthony this week in wake of a critical column written by one of Jackson's confidants, that being ESPN's Ramona Shelburne, who reported that story. Now, Jackson's close friend, Charlie Rosen, has stirred up controversy in recent days, writing on Tuesday for FanRag Sports that Anthony, quote, has outlived his usefulness in New York. Now, that article made its way to Carmelo, who responded on Sunday, quote, "If they feel like my time in New York is over, I guess that's a conversation we should have," end quote. He said that after following a loss to the Raptors. And lastly, at least three Oregon football players have reportedly been hospitalized following a series of intense workouts. Now, the Oregonian reported late Monday that the players remain hospitalized after being taken there late last week. The school didn't immediately identify the players who were hospitalized. It says in a statement to the newspaper that it will continue to monitor and support the players as they recover. The university says it has, quote, "implemented modifications as we transition back into full training to prevent further occurrences," end quote. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and be a part of the show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. A loaded show. Let's get to it.
few different things. And you're right on, because I don't know what, 5-6 weeks ago, we're coming out of that. And I didn't think we had arrived, but I thought we were in a pretty good place taking steps. When we next played at home against Minnesota, we played some pretty good hockey, and scoring became pretty difficult. And really, since that time, there's been a combination. It hasn't been one consistent thing. You know, our defensive zone play, I thought, had been very consistent. It was getting better and better as we gained experience. We weren't giving up many 5-on-5 goals, or even strength goals, particularly from our defensive zone. Well, this weekend, that was a root of a problem. That didn't exist a few weeks ago. So I think what's happened is, over a period of time, our scoring's been a challenge. Special teams has been a challenge. Then, you know, maybe this weekend you start cheating a little bit in your play, and we saw some of that we're trying to address. Just that, when I say cheating, you know, maybe you're giving up something defensively to try to anticipate offense, because you know a goal could be used and it could ignite some momentum, but now it turns around and goes the other way on you. So it's that kind of stuff, and we've got to keep convincing our team that we have to stay the course. It will break at a certain point. You got to play the right way all the time. And you know, now it's affected our it's gotten to a point where it's affected our confidence, and that's the hardest thing.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy Tuesday, January 17th, 2017. And you know what? I meant to pass this news to you all yesterday. Totally forgot. But I want to give you guys a heads up that on Friday, there will be no Current Sports. Yes, I know. I can hear the cries from all of you out there listening right now. I know. But Friday, of course, marks the inauguration of President-elect Donald Trump. And we will actually be streaming the inauguration during that time right here on WKAR AM 870. So Trump is booting me off the airwaves on Friday, Isaac. So, again, that gives you more incentive to make sure that you tune in up until Thursday, all right? We're going to have fun up until then. Loaded show. And I do have one quick hit headliner that I did not get a chance to push through just now. But I want to do so before we lead today's Current Sports by chatting about the Michigan State University hockey team and what exactly is going wrong for Tom Onassis and company. But Mike Tomlin, you know, we chatted briefly about this on Monday. You had Antonio Brown, after the Steelers were able to squeak by the Kansas City Chiefs. Antonio Brown, the star wide receiver for the Black and Gold, he decided to whip out his phone and stream the post-game press conference from his head coach, Mike Tomlin, addressing the loss. And there were a few profanities thrown out left and right, and Mike Tomlin addressed how, you know, the team had given the Patriots an extra day to prep and we're going to be ready, blah, blah, blah. Well, Steelers coach Mike Tomlin is sorry that he called the Patriots a certain name that I cannot mention here on the air. And he is also sorry that the Steelers had wide receiver Antonio Brown filming that moment in the locker room. Commenting for the first time on Brown's bizarre decision to broadcast the Steelers post-game locker room on Facebook Live on Sunday night, Tomlin said today that he is sorry for the language he uses and wishes he hadn't been shown that way in his role as the leader of the Steelers. Quote, "The language on the video is regrettable by me and by others. That's why we got to go to great lengths to preserve certain moments and interactions between us. As a parent, as a member of the community, I take that very seriously. I issue an apology in that regard," end quote. Now, Tomlin also said the Steelers would issue an internal punishment to Brown And he indicated he thinks the league may punish Brown as well. Tomlin went on to say this, quote, "It was foolish of him to do that, selfish and inconsiderate. It was violation of our policy and league policy. He's a great player, respected in the locker room, but incidents such as this don't help in that regard," end quote. Now, Tomlin said he hasn't yet spoken to Brown about the matter, but will deal with it and will then move on to preparing for the Patriots. So I like the way Mike Tomlin is going about this whole situation, because I can only imagine what went through his head when he found out that his comments concerning preparation for the New England Patriots, which was supposed to be an in-house thing, was broadcasted for all to see via Facebook Live. Ah, social media. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before giving you that last quick hit headliner, you heard the voice of Tom Anastas, who is the head coach of the Michigan State hockey team. I want to bring up one date to preface this conversation. November 25th. Does that date ring a bell at all when it comes to Michigan State hockey fans out there? Well, November 25th was actually the last time that the Michigan State hockey team won a game. That was at North Dakota. A two-game set in which, on November 26th, the Spartans ended up tying North Dakota in overtime. So the last official win for Tom Anastas and the Green and White took place on November 25th. Since then, Michigan State has lost to Minnesota. They have lost to Northeastern. They have lost to Western. They have lost to Michigan, Wisconsin, and most recently, Penn State. The Spartans will play U of M in a home-and-home series, first game at Michigan in Ann Arbor on the 20th, and then on the 21st, the two teams, the two rivals, will play at Munice Arena at 7 p.m. If you're Tom Anastas, and those comments you heard in that intro, in that beginning montage to begin the show, those were comments made by Tom Anastas heading into the series against Penn State, which the Spartans lost. Two-game series, the first game a 5-2 loss, the second being a 5-3 loss. But those were comments from Tom Anastas addressing what has gone wrong since the North Dakota win on November 25th. Which seems like forever ago. It seems like 10 years ago for Tom and company. And, you know, Tom Anastas being in his sixth year as the head coach of the program, you have to ask now, with the Spartans sitting at an overall record of 4-15-1, 0-6 in the Big Ten Conference, you have to ask just how hot the seat is now becoming for Tom. We've asked this question before, certainly. Heck, in the last 2 years, I feel like we've been bringing this question up left and right. And there have been a few layers to that conversation. Many who believe that, you know, you have to give Tom a little bit more time. Because one, and I firmly believe this as well, I don't believe in just firing a head coach just for the heck of it, just for the, you know, just throwing in change for the sake of change. There has to be a contingency plan in place. If an athletic department is going to fire a coach, there needs to be a good replacement option that is reasonable to obtain. I've always believed that no matter what level of sport you're talking about, you just don't fire to fire, right? So one component to it. And that's something that when we brought up this question, others in defense of Anastas have said, okay, well, who else is out there? Who do you go about replacing him with if you are going to make that move? And I get that. The other layer to this conversation that goes in defense of Tom Manassas is a question I brought up many times, is how short is the leash? You know, how much time should we realistically give Tom Anastas, who is now in his sixth year as the head coach of the program, how much time should we give Tom Anastas to try and get the wheels back on the track? Now, I must say, you know, you look at the 2014-15 season, that was one of good progress for the Spartans. If you look at it, Anastas guided the team to a second-place finish in the Big Ten regular season standings, a 17-16-2 record. Again, that's progress in relation to previous years. 11-7-1 in the Big Ten Conference. That is also a season that saw players mature a lot. Specifically, goaltender Jake Hildebrand at the time, who became a second first-team All-American selection, and also was Big Ten player and goaltender of the year. Pretty impressive stuff, I must say. We're looking at that 2014-15 year. And when you look at Anastas' first season as head coach, that was actually in 2011. So the 2011-2012 season, you know, that featured a team that had a lot of experience on it. 9 seniors, 14 upperclassmen overall. So when you evaluate that first season for Tom, in which the team had an overall record of 19-16-4, above .500 overall record, a fifth-place finish in the regular season, CCHA standings, earned an at-large bid to the NCAA tourney. By the way, that is the only time that Tom Anastas has led his team to an NCAA tourney berth in just his first year. Again, a senior-laden team. Again, the reason why, when the conversation was brought up years after that, whether or not Tom Anastas should be fired, is because, look at his first year. He had a lot of turnover after that first season. 9 seniors, 14 upperclassmen. You're bringing in a lot of young pups, and it's going to take some time for those young dogs to mature and to gain that experience and to figure out how to win. And I totally got that argument as well. And also, when you look at that first season, that team did all of that with the second most difficult schedule in the country. First trip to the national tournament in 2011 since 2008 and 27th overall. So you look at that first season. I feel like a lot of people are harping on that first season under Tom Anastas because it was historic when you talk about reaching the NCAA tourney, and it was a great start for Tom Anastas. I mean, he came right in, and the ball immediately felt like it was beginning to roll. And a lot of people are harping on that first year in defense of Tom now in the conversation as to whether or not this man should lose his job. But again, I bring up the question now with him for the most part struggling as the head coach of this program. How short is the leash? When you go on a drought like MSU hockey is currently on, last win, November 25th at North Dakota, the question is going to be there. We can't ignore it. I'm not one to ignore the elephant in the room. And I can only imagine, and this is, again, a sensitive topic because anytime you're talking about a coach being let go or fired, I mean, this is how this man gets paid. This is his livelihood. His job is on the line here. And I've read, I spent all morning prepping for this conversation, and I read about 3 or 4 blogs with people and MSU hockey fans out there that are just fed up right now, that have reached a boiling point, and they want to see Tom let go. And I want to know, if we have any listeners out there who are MSU hockey fans, who have attended a few games this season or in the past few years, I want to know how bad is the situation in your eyes. Because I have talked with a few fans via email And they have told me that the attendance is not great. The atmosphere at Monice Arena surrounding this team is lackluster. The students are barely coming out. The energy that is MSU hockey is currently ho-hum. And I get it. It's tough. I can only imagine what Tom Onassis is going through. Because, I mean, you look at this program. And a name I bring up, and may he rest in peace, Ron Mason, who was such a staple for this program and this university. When you try to follow up a man like Ron Mason, the bar is going to be set always incredibly high as a result of Mason's unprecedented success for the Spartans throughout his 23 seasons here in East Lansing. We're talking about a guy in Mason who had 19 NCAA tournament appearances, 5 Frozen Fours, and oh yeah, a certain thing called a national championship. The bar is always going to be set high, whether it be Tom Onassis or whoever assumes that role after Mason as the head coach of this program. As far as Tom Onassis goes as a person, I love him. I mean, we've had him on the show multiple times. He's a great guy. He's classy. Heck, he's got a great mind for the game of hockey as well. I mean, just having a conversation with him. I mean, he knows the game. But it is a difference between knowing a game and then going out there and trying to motivate your troops and trying to rally them and get the most out of them. You know, it's a difference between knowing a game and then going out there and coaching it. Not to say I'm not bashing Tom Onassis by any means here. I think he is a great hockey mind, but when you evaluate the numbers and when you evaluate the success of this program, you have to bring up other components to the conversation in regards to a head coach of a program like Michigan State Hockey. He was a savvy commish, you know, in his role as CCHA commissioner. I mean, you saw so much growth and so much change when it came to his, you know, over what, 13 years? A fantastic success as commish there. You know, he also served as the president of the Hockey Commissioners Association, better known as the HCA. Did a great job there. He's a great hockey mind. But right now in the win column for Michigan State Hockey as a coach, the job isn't getting done. So I ask, just how short is the leash for Tom Onassis? He's a guy that you want to root for. Heck, I'm rooting for him. I really hope he gets this thing turned around. But now in his sixth season, you have to ask the question, how much longer? How much longer? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to invite the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer hailing from Nolens, Isaac Constance, to Current Sports. Isaac, what's your take on the tenure of Tom Onassis so far, and how short do you believe that leash is becoming?
Well, I think that leash is that short, if not already off, and they're just letting him do what he wants until this year's over, only to let him go after that. I think it's at this point in the program, and you brought it up, I'm from New Orleans. I'm not a naturalized hockey fan. It's not something I grew up with, but my philosophy across sports, no matter whether it's on ice, on a court, on a field, on a baseball diamond, it's the same thing. Can you win a championship with whoever we're talking about? That's the question for me right now. Because this is a team that, let's face it, the last two coaches of Michigan State hockey won championships. We are talking about a program of that caliber. Whenever I talk to Lions fans, I say that same thing about Matthew Stafford. Can you win a championship with him? I think that answer is yes. It doesn't mean the person is the solution, the end-all, be-all, or the entire problem. But the thing is, if they don't have the metal or the muster or whatever it is that leads a team to that final game where everything's on the line, where you can grasp out and reach the trophy, I think it might be time to sever ties. And to be honest, with Tom Anastas, like you, I hear the arguments. I hear about the great first season, and it really was. And all of the coaching potential, his vast experience, his savvy in his way of handling both media and his players. Everybody seems to like him interpersonally. But the thing is, the results have sloped downward over time. And at some point, you just got to cut it off before it goes any further. I'm not averse to letting him finish out the season, see what he can accomplish there, see what promise he can maybe stir up. But at the same time, I do think that one way or another, this is his last season in charge of Michigan State hockey.
You think so? And that's the thing. I think, Tom, I wouldn't go as far as to say that just yet. I think you have to see how the season plays out and then really have that conversation. But I will say this. Tom knows that his job is on the line, all right? You try to block out the noise, but he knows it. It's on his mind before he goes to bed at night. It's on his mind when he wakes up. I'm sure of that. And he is doing everything that he can to try and change the situation. I'm very sure of that. And you know, you bring up the excuses as to why or the reasons. I don't even know if I should call them excuses, right? Depending on which way you look at it, right? But you bring up the reasons that those in defense of Anastas have when trying to defend him as to why this team has had, you know, hasn't had success. And, you know, what another component to this is youth as well. And I think that, you know, that was an excuse after Tom Anastas in his first year because, again, you had so many seniors, you had so much turnover after that first season for Anastas. But you look at it now, and especially last year, I mean, those are players recruited by Anastas who are now upperclassmen, right?
Yep.
And you have to sit there and say to yourself, okay, that youth excuse is no longer, right? Those are players that have the experience now. They've been there, and they have to start producing. That is no longer an excuse for the reason why this team has struggled, and the results have to be there. And I can just see the frustration. Again, I saw different blogs. I've been seeing Facebook messages from a lot of our listeners out there. I've been seeing tweets left and right. Fans are frustrated, and I think that's the key in this whole thing. Anytime you begin to rock the boat and frustrate those who essentially pay the bills, those who bring money to the program through ticket sales, the fans. If the fans are not happy, then no one is happy. And that is the key component to this whole argument here. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now before we hit our first break. We have Wendy from East Lansing that wants to chime in. Wendy, welcome to Current Sports. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I am not interested in hockey. In fact, you know, I'm sort of disappointed to have the whole show or so much of the show go towards this subject. But mostly I think of how young both of you are and how upset Coach Anastas would be if he'd heard the entirety of this broadcast, because I just think that you don't have the right vantage point for you. It probably doesn't matter whether a coach is let go. I think about
Wendy,
really talented kids coming in any sport, and if they are really talented, you know, the NHL takes them, and then they're left with a skeleton crew. They have to start all over, and there's a lot of talent out there, you know, to compete against, and so it's a really uphill battle. I just think of how young you guys are and how unhappy Coach Anastas would be if he had heard this broadcast.
Wendy, that's not my job to worry about how someone it feels about this conversation. Right now I'm doing my job, okay? Our job here on Current Sports is to talk about what's important to this community in the sports world. And to be honest with you, Wendy, if you listen to the show on a regular basis, we don't spend a lot of time talking about MSU hockey. So I thought
bringing
this conversation to the forefront. Let me finish here. Bringing this conversation to the forefront to begin today's current sports, I thought would spark interest. And I really think it has sparked interest, looking at our Facebook feed here, for a lot of our listeners who want to see us talk about Michigan State hockey more. And I'm not a host or a reporter that ignores the obvious. This is a conversation that has been brewing for quite some time, not just here, not just today, January 17th. And again, I'm always going to keep it real and I'm always going to be honest. I want to make this clear. I'm not saying that Tom Manassas should lead. I don't think I've said it throughout this whole spiel. Tom Manassas, I'm not saying here that he should lose his job. I think we should see how this season plays out and then go about it that way. I'm just saying that the chatter is there.
Well, how many games are left?
Oh, I mean, they still have a good part of the season. I mean, like I said, I mean, the record for Michigan State hockey right now is 4-15-1. They will play Michigan upcoming this weekend, and they play Wisconsin.
That's a loss. You already know how the season is going to turn out.
We don't know that. I mean, I think you're putting the cart before the horse here.
Well,
I mean,
they're not going to beat U of M.
We'll see. We'll see. They were very competitive. I actually tuned in to the Great Lakes Invitational down at the Joe against Michigan, and they made that very competitive. That game actually went to overtime. So this team has a lot of potential, Wendy. And I'm not saying that Tom Manassas should lose his job. In fact, I think, let's see how the season plays out, and we'll see how it goes from there. And again, to address, you know, how Tom feels about this conversation, I'm not the only one talking about this. Come on, let's be real here. You know, of course he's not going to be happy when listening to a show or reading the paper about the non-success of his team. I think that's pretty obvious, Wendy. But that's not my job. I'm doing my job here.
Okay, it just seems maybe you're being facetious when you talk about how the rest of the season is going to go, because there's so many losses now that there's no saving this season.
I wouldn't say that. Now, again.
That's why I asked you how many games are left, and you bring up U of M, which is a certain loss.
There's sports. You just never know in sports. I don't like saying, again, we do predictions here on the show, but I don't think that's a certain loss. I think they can be competitive. I still think there's a lot of hockey left. This is my bottom line. There's a lot of hockey left, and I do believe that depending on how this season finishes out, then we can realistically have that conversation whether or not Tom Manassas should be let go and bring in new personnel. And again, I'm not a big fan.
If they won all the rest of their games, they'd still have a losing season, right?
Possibly, yeah. If we count the games here, but yeah, probably that is real. That is real.
Right. Well, then, when you say, let's just see how the rest of the season...
Well, Wendy, I want to know what you're... Because I'm hearing two different takes from you here. I'm hearing that, again, Tom wouldn't be happy if he heard this conversation, but I'm also hearing a lot of negativity from you when concerning the rest of the year for MSU hockey.
Well,
what do
I
you
don't
think
know
should
how
happen?
How many games are left. That's why
well,
I asked.
Wendy, there's
what?
14 games left 14 currently. Against U of M, who's the second worst team in the Big Ten currently.
So MSU
well,
could...
I don't know anything about hockey. Sorry.
So Wendy... Do you think that's the question here? I ask. I mean, how hot do you think the seat is for Tom Manassas, and how do you think that's the question I'm posing here? How do you think this season will finish out for them?
You know, I don't think the seat is that hot because I don't think, frankly, people care that much about hockey anymore, and they have to have a good, you know, replacement in mind before they would ever let someone go. So I hope. It's not that bad because I think that there are other problems inherent in the whole hockey situation. I think, you know, whenever we've had a really good player, we immediately lose him.
Yeah, well, I also think the recruiting has picked up for Tom, and we'll just have to see how the rest of the year pans out. Wendy, we appreciate your point of view and your take on this.
I enjoy the show. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk some MSU basketball. Tom Izzo, he's also a man who keeps it real. He kept it really, really real at the Breslin this afternoon, addressing the state of his team moving forward. You don't want to miss this. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and we have breaking news here on our airwaves. Michigan State women's basketball head coach Susie Merchant has taken a medical leave of absence from the Spartan women's basketball program. Effective immediately, associate head coach Amaka Agugwa will serve as interim head coach during Merchant's time away. Following Saturday's game at Rutgers, Merchant remained in New Jersey to undergo more testing at a local hospital after experiencing similar symptoms that she felt during that January 1st home contest against Illinois when she actually fainted on the sidelines. She missed MSU's January 4th game at Purdue, but was back on the bench for the January 7th game versus Nebraska. A time frame for her return has yet to be determined. Michigan State back in action tonight at Northwestern at 9 p.m. You will not see Susie Merchant on the sidelines again. MSU women's basketball head coach Merchant has taken a medical leave of absence from the Spartan women's basketball program. That's really shocking news to many, including myself, Isaac, because I saw Susie during that game against Ohio State, where Tori Jankowska, of course, set the record for the program's all-time leading scorer, and Susie seemed to be fine. She seemed to be her normal self. Now, I must say this. Susie has this habit of kind of, you know, kneeling, or I should say, you know, kind of bending her knees and kind of standing up, perched on the sidelines. I didn't see much of that against Ohio State. She actually sat down on the bench. I think she was trying to approach it in a different way and trying not to exhaust herself on the sidelines. So it's a bit surprising for many, including myself, to hear this news that Susie Merchant is now taking a medical leave of absence from the Spartan women's basketball program. Wishing her well and really hoping that she gets well. I see you, callers. I see you, Ray. I see you, Kirk. Stay on. I want to just throw this out there. Tom Izzo held his weekly press conference at noon at the Breslin Center today. And he had some very honest words, to say the least. Just to read through a few of the comments here, Isaac, bear with me. Tom Izzo said that he's disappointed but not discouraged after the loss at Ohio State. Said that he's also concerned about his own substitution patterns. And I think Tom has owned up to it when his team came out to, you know, that great run. That's great stretch of basketball right out the gates where they went 6 of 6 from the floor. And then Tom Izzo decided to make a line change and take out everybody. He regrets that. He certainly does. Izzo went on to say this afternoon, quote, "We are going to get a lot out of our freshmen, I should say, but it's going to be up and down." He brought up Iowa's win at Purdue, a big loss at Northwestern. Izzo said, as far as Aaron Harris goes, he is struggling. MSU's issues as far as setting screens is why Aaron Harris has struggled a bit. He talks about Cassius Winston here. Cassius is my number one favorite guard already because he's got high basketball IQ, but there's a process he's got to go through. Let's see here. He also went on to say he also hit on a bit on recruiting. Izzo went on to say, quote, "I've always believed in recruiting kids near their homes where their families and friends can see them play." Says that Michigan hoops is up and down. He talked about Gavin Schilling and the possibility of him coming back. He said that the possibility of Gavin Schilling coming back is, quote, "probably the same." Says he is very doubtful, but no definite answer. Also, again, Ben Carter definitely done for the season. We won't see him the rest of the year. And then he goes on to talk about the state of his team. Quote, "This is new territory for me. It's different. Never in 22 years did I ever dream of starting 4 freshmen. I've always had some vets." And then he talks of injuries and off-seasons missed. Quote, "It's different to play with the ups and downs of freshmen. It's been a hell of a year. And I think we're still above water. I think we got a lot to do. I think fans should get behind this team. Don't panic. The team is getting better and better. We got to do a better job as a staff because this is new territory. We're still surviving. Am I happy where we are? No. Do I understand where we are? Partially. And then he talked about the beginning of the year and the scheduling that he had. I'll play the same schedule, but I'll never play it in the same framework. Never again. And he mentioned travel and the timing of opponents. And then this is what I really like, this quote right here. Quote, "You can bet against us. I wouldn't advise you to." I love that. Tom Izzo, always honest, always candid in his answers, Isaac.
Yeah, you know, when you criticize coaches, it's always a tough task because you really do have to back it up. It needs to be substantiated, and that's the thing. With Tom Izzo, he does your homework for you. Tom Izzo comes out. He knows that maybe his substitution patterns against Ohio State were awry and ended up being costly for this team. He came back out himself. But lines like that, wow, you got to love this guy. He's still one of the best motivators in all of college basketball. On top of his tactical prowess, I have not been convinced by this MSU team yet, but I'm also willing to bet that there is room for improvement. And the thing with Aaron Harris is, you know, as much as I like the guy as a player, I saw an open practice 2 years ago, and I thought, wow, this is the best guy on MSU's team already. That's why I thought the first year that Harris transferred to this program, couldn't even play yet. But the thing with him is he's an ISO player. He's still adapting to this system. And you know what? If he gets it, that is great. That helps this team tremendously. If not, this is the thing about freshmen. You need to rely and lean on them heavily. And Josh Linkford's progression over these past few games for me has been as good of an indication as I can remember for this MSU team.
Yeah, and the thing is, you just don't know what you're getting.
Yeah.
And on any given night, when you watch MSU men's basketball, it's a question mark. You just don't know how this team is going to come out the gates. You don't know how they're going to come out at halftime, especially with Aaron Harris. I love him, but the time is now for him. He is a senior on this squad, and he has to come out mentally checked in and ready to go. We just haven't seen that. Let's take your calls. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's go actually to line two right now. We've got Kirk from Grand Ledge on the line and wants to talk a little MSU hockey. Kirk, what's on your mind, my friend? How are you?
Hi, Al. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for asking, my man. What's up?
Well, I'm hoping that Wendy is still listening because the last point she made is exactly the point that needs to be made. And the last point that she made was that she didn't think people cared very much about hockey anymore at MSU. Mm-hmm. And that is the very crux of the issue because at MSU, with the facilities, with Munn Ice Arena, with their prior history, hockey has to be, at the worst, a revenue-neutral sport. It has to pay for itself. And if people don't care, it's not a revenue-neutral sport. It's costing the athletic department money. And that's when coaches start looking to lose their jobs.
Totally agree. I think that's a very well-put point there, Kirk, and that's another thing. Again, I've heard about the atmosphere at Munn Ice Arena this season. It's not great. They're struggling to get people in the door. They're struggling to get students to come out to the games. And when you start taking a hit financially, when you've invested so much time, effort, and moolah into Munn Ice Arena, some changes have to be made. I agree. That's a very good point, Kirk.
You know, there's a lot to be said. I remember it wasn't before this year in hockey, but the year before, Anastas came out and talked about the whole recruiting thing, how you have to recruit kids so much younger, and then you have to sit and wait for them for 3 or 4 years while they decide if they're going to play juniors or not, and that he didn't every offer that had been put out under Rick Conley's administration to young kids, they followed through on. And he basically made the argument that he wasn't playing with his players, after 4 or 5 years. And Mark Hollis came out and actually kind of vouched for that and gave him some cover under it. But I don't know. You know, I mean, I understand that argument. I can appreciate that argument. But it's been a long time of mediocrity, and it's got to be turning around here. And you know, they have to go like 13-1 in their last 14 games to have a winning season. And that ain't going to happen. So they're going to have another losing season. They'll have to win the Big Ten tournament to get to the NCAA tournament. That's not going to happen. There's big decisions that need to be made, and it's going to be interesting to see how the administration handles it. Thanks, Al.
Hey, Kirk, anytime. I think that's a great take on it. And to follow up on that, I think that the majority of MSU hockey fans feel this way. They're tired of the excuses. At some point, you got to start winning. And if you don't, you know what happens. 517-355-WKAR. Line one, our dear friend and caller, Ray from Indiana, on the line. Ray, what's up?
Skipper.
What's up, my man?
Hey, disappointing season so far for your basketball team. How many losses you got so far?
Well, I first off, I want to say this, Ray. I think that there's still a lot of basketball left to play. Again, taking consideration that this is a squad that played another year of top-tier talent, more so than any other years. I mean, you could argue that November was the toughest November in program history. But right now, this team sits at 12-7 and 4-2 in the Big Ten Conference. So it's still a lot of basketball left to play. You know, like Tom Izzo said, don't bet this team out. Don't bet this team out just yet, Ray.
I agree with you. When do you play the Bullies twice? You going to beat them for me?
Oh, boy. Let me see. Let me look at the schedule here. And because I can't wait for that. And by the way, Michigan plays tonight in Nebraska, by the way. And I'm pretty sure you'll be chiming in that one. But they play actually the 29th of this month against Michigan. And then on February 7th.
You said January 29th?
January 29th and February 7th.
Where at?
Let's see. The 29th game will be in East Lansing, and the one in February is going to be, I believe, that is on the road. Let me check here. Yes, that's on the road. That's going to be in Ann Arbor.
February what?
February 7th.
Oh, okay. Hey, I told you Aaron Rodgers was a bad man now, didn't I?
Yeah, I know. I knew it was coming. You know I'm a big Dallas Cowboys fan, Ray, but Aaron Rodgers is just playing on another stratosphere. There is no better quarterback in the league right now. With all due respect to Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers is mind-blowing.
He's the best.
He is.
I tell you what, I challenge anybody to roll out like that and run and throw a 30-yard pass just inside the pie line before he went out of bounds.
And you know what? And, you know, what's even more miraculous about that play from Rodgers to Cooks is that, and I had to confirm it, and I had to confirm it during our show yesterday, but Aaron Rodgers actually drew that play up in the huddle. That wasn't a play call coming from McCarthy on the sidelines. That was Aaron Rodgers saying, you go here, you go here. I'm going to make something happen. And he did. Crazy. Unbelievable.
Did you see how he should have had the ball stripped on him to play before?
Yep.
He hung on to that ball. I don't know how he hung on to that ball.
When Heath came from the left side, I really thought that A-Raj was going to fumble the football. I don't know how in the world he hung on to that and did not cough it up. Remarkable. He's unbelievable.
Are you a Cowboy fan?
I'm born and raised as a Cowboys fan. My dad,
oh, wow.
You know. Yeah.
You know, I never liked that coach you got there, Garrett. I think he's a puppet for the owner so they can good old boys can party.
I'll say this.
Quarter and a half, there must have been four penalties where he messed it up on getting people in and out of the huddle.
Yep. And Rodgers, he knows. He counts men on the field. But I'll say this. Any coach who goes to Arlington, Texas to coach the Dallas Cowboys is always going to be a puppet to you-know-who, Mr. Jerry Jones. I don't care who you bring in. That's just the way it's going to be. I hear you.
They like the party down there. They're good old boys. I don't like some of the things he does, that owner, but that's just about all the owners in the NFL. They're all partiers, and they want to do everything their way, and they don't listen to other people when they do bring them in, you know?
Yep, I hear you. All right, Ray. Well, we got less than 5 minutes. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it.
All right, God bless.
517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to briefly bring this up because we had him scheduled to come on the show today, Isaac. But his name is Steve Finnemore, a dear friend of ours, head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team. Steve had to, you know, do. That's the thing about, you know, the 1 o'clock show sometimes. I mean, those who are involved with schools, especially high schools. I mean, school is still in session at 1 o'clock. So Steve picked up an extra job today and he could not join us on the airwaves. We're going to get him on this week, though, because I definitely want to talk about the East Lansing boys basketball game that took place on Friday night against the Holt Rams. I was in the house along with various other media members to witness one of the best high school boys basketball games I've ever covered. One name I want to bring up, Brandon Johns, was spectacular. The Trojan star forward, he got hurt in the first half of that game. He got poked in the eye by his own teammate. He goes out. He's complaining that he can't see. He can't open his eye. You know, and after the game, you could clearly see that his eye was a bit bloodshot. And, you know, he goes out. And they're icing his eye, and he's holding it. He's in a lot of pain, and he's you know, while he's out, his team is kind of crumbling. You know, at one point, East Lansing was down by 16 points in that game, and then all of a sudden, Brandon Johns, he puts on the Superman cape, goes out there, and puts on one incredible performance. Actually, Brandon Johns, he finished the game with 33 points. Johns would go on to score 26 of those 33 in the second half alone. East Lansing ended up coming from behind to win that game 70-66. One of the most gritty performances you will ever witness from a high school athlete. And again, take advantage of this, folks, because, you know, don't get me wrong, I love the Lansing area. The Lansing area has a fantastic forum when it comes to high school boys basketball talent. But it's very rare when you see a talent like that of a Brandon Johns, who's ranked, you know, when it comes to various recruiting polls, who is going out and playing AAU basketball and competing against some of the best high school players in the entire nation. It's very rare when you have a young talent like a Brandon Johns. So take advantage of it. If you have not seen this young man play, you can actually do so tonight as East Lansing will play Lansing Eastern. Because it's not often that you get a talent like this in the Lansing area, folks. The Trojans are undefeated at an overall record of 8-0, 5-0 in the CAAC Blue Conference. It was a battle of unbeatens in the conference between Holt and the Trojans on Friday night. We hope to get Steve Finnemore a part of our airwaves during tomorrow's show. I want to give a big shout-out to all of our listeners out there. Thank you to Wendy. Thank you to Ray. Thank you to Kirk for calling in and weighing in on today's current sports. Much love to engineer Isaac Constance. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Take care. Have a fantastic afternoon. And as always, be easy, people.